Let us just speak to you just for a few more minutes, because this is, again, we're talking eternal destinies here, and this is something that we feel is very serious.
See, the elders warned us and told us that there would be apostate literature available, and you told us right off the bat that all these were letters from the Watchtower Society. Now you've brought up all these things that's speaking against our organization.
Well, no, Paul, what have I shown you?
This is just
here
what
today?
The apostates like to do.
Yes, but
tear us down.
What have I shown you here? This is nothing more than photocopies of your own Watchtower magazines.
But you're planting seeds of doubt in our mind.
Several weeks ago, Paul, when you came by my house, one of your goals was to try and place into my hands a copy of the Watchtower magazine. And what happens if I took that Watchtower magazine and then 10 or 15 years later some Jehovah's Witnesses come by and I started to point out some doctrines that were in that no longer agreed with the Watchtower magazine in 10 or 15 years? That would be old and apostate literature. All we're doing is going to your old publications. This isn't apostate literature. I don't have any printed literature here from apostates. This is all comes right from the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society.
Well, why don't you look at the new books? I mean, the new books have the latest light. I mean, we've straightened out all these bad ideas.
Paul, this is what I'm saying. 10 years from now, these new books that you're asking me to look at now, they're going to be no good. They're going to be the old light. But the Bible never changes. God said His Word never changes. Flowers and grass will pass away, but the Word of God stands forever. But the Watchtower magazine, today's truth will prove to be tomorrow's error. Do you understand that? Paul, if you were on a deserted island and a chest floated up and you opened it up and we're in the current year, but you opened it up and it was a box of Watchtower magazines from the 1940s, the 1930s, and the 1920s, would those be of any value to you?
Well, no.
If you wanted to understand truth today?
No, because the light's gotten brighter.
What if you were on that same island and you had a Bible that floated up that was printed in 1900 or even before? Would that be of any value?
Well, of course. It's God's Word.
And it never changes.
But see, without the Watchtower literature, the Bible becomes a closed book. And you see, you need the Watchtower literature in order to open up the Scriptures. But
what about the faithful and discreet slave, though? Jesus said there would be an organization to give food at the proper time.
But there's no organization. There's, you know, that scripture that you're quoting is not talking about 15 men in Brooklyn who were sitting up there spitting this material out. We're talking about the Holy Spirit, who said that he would lead us and guide us into all truth. He gave this to the congregation in John chapter 14. He says, "When the Spirit of God comes, who is the Comforter, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things." So we have clear and abundant scriptures as the Holy Spirit who will lead us. And in fact, over in John chapter 16, the Holy Spirit again says that he would not speak of himself, but would glorify Jesus Christ and would draw people towards him. And in the last few minutes before, I know you're in a hurry and I know you want to get going here, but I'd just like to zero in on just what exactly the gospel is. We've talked a lot about a lot of different things, a lot of doctrines, but the gospel in a nutshell, and we quoted it the first day that we even met, was in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that if any man will confess with his mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in his heart that God has raised him from the dead, he will be saved. That word saved means to become whole, to become complete. And throughout the scriptures, John chapter 3, verses 15, 16, 18, and 36, talk about believing in Jesus Christ. Also, we have this in John chapter 5, verse 24, John chapter 6, verse 29, and 40 and 47. In John chapter 20, verse 31, it says, "These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and believing you might have life through his name." So when we believe in Jesus Christ, we pass from death unto life. Now, I know a lot of folks will say, "Well, I believe," and we talk to a lot of people who say they believe in Jesus Christ, but the word "believe" in the Greek means to cling to rely upon, to trust in Jesus Christ. And once a person clings to and...
Well, I just want to say this, that the Bible says we've got to endure to the end in order to be saved.
Well, of course there's an endurance. Of course there's a commitment to faith. Well, of course we're talking about people who have once put their hand to the plow, do not look back. But you see, that consistency and that endurance does not reside with me. It resides within Christ. And you see, as I resist, Christ is the one who keeps me. I don't have to muster this up within myself. When I place my trust in Christ, he's the one who keeps me. You see, we quoted the scriptures before. It is Christ who lives in me, the hope of glory. It is Jesus Christ. See, it's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. me. And you see, it's not a belief. See, this belief in Jesus Christ is a belief that alters the actions of one's life. It's not some kind of a liver quiver or easy believism or some bosom blessing, but it's an actual commitment to a person who says that once you place your trust in Him, once you confess Him, He would live and reside within us. And this is the confidence that we have, Paul and Pat, is that we know Jesus Christ. It's not something that we hope so, and we know, we absolutely know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we are. Romans chapter 8 talks about the fact that the Spirit of God would bear witness with our spirit that we are a child of God. So there's this supernatural manifestation that happens within the believer once he places his trust in Christ. There's one scripture I want to leave you with, and it's in 1 John chapter 5. Would you look over there, please?
Sure.
1 John chapter 5, starting with verse 11. And this is the record that God has given us, eternal life. And this life is in the Son. Paul, all life is in the Son. And this is how Jehovah has arrangement. This is Jehovah's purpose. This is Jehovah's arrangement for your life. He that has the Son has life. You see, Kirk and I both have the Son. We both have the Son, therefore we both have life. We don't have a potential for life, we both have the life. He that has not the Son has not life. You can go door to door and you can enter into all kinds of work, but unless you have the Son, you do not have life. I don't care how much. It's not something that's a potential. You see, a relationship with Christ is a present possession. You see, eternal life is a present possession in Jesus Christ, not a future attainment based on all kind of meritorious works.